I just believe that God is wanting to share with us in Romans 4, verse 20 to 22, that no unbelief made him, this is Abram, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Now just believe God is good. God is, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is more powerful than whatever we can do. And I was just talking to a friend of mine on Saturday morning. I haven't seen him for 22 years, 26 years. And he's filled with the Spirit of God. And just talking to him, understanding the promises and the goodness of God, that we can hold on to God because God can do anything. He can. And they went on an outreach and they said they prayed for people, and it's so easy to pray for someone with a headache, but when they're blind, we go, it's too big for God. But just laying hands on people and then they see, knowing that God do miracles. And we must believe, and I believe God is a miracle-working God. He changes lives. He changes. He wants to change lives because He's good. And God's goodness endures forever. And there's nothing in this world. There's nothing in the earth. There's nothing in the heavens. There's no demonic power that can separate us from the love of God. And I really believe God wants to take us, our unbelief, He wants to take it away, that we can walk in faith and not by sight. To walk in the fullness of who God is, because God wants to bless us. I just want to pray, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we can just come in humbleness before You, Lord. Knowing that You are a good God, and we celebrate You, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just want to thank You for Your goodness, Lord. I want to thank You for Your promises, Lord. That we can hold on to the promises, Lord. And we can just speak, God, that You've promised us, Lord, Strand, Somerset, West, Gordons Bay, Makassar, Lord, Krabbo. And we thank You for the promises, Lord, of every soul getting saved in this place, Lord. Every soul in South Africa getting saved, God, in Africa, in the world, Lord. And God, we just come to You and we present ourselves, Lord, as humble vessels, Lord, ready to go. Because, Lord, You first loved us, God. And we just want to surrender our lives to You, God. And we just thank You, God, for Your goodness and Your love and Your kindness, Lord. But thank You that we can know that we serve a powerful God in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to ask you, as you sit, if you can just turn to one or two people next to you, if we can just quickly pray for the Kitskinners, Yaku and Lisa, and Daniel of Daniel in Lenai. Huh? What is he talking about? Anai, I've seen Lenai. Anai and Philip and Charles and Caesar, they are stuck at the border of Namibia without one passport. So someone is currying the passport up for them. And I just feel it's almost like the devil wants to keep them out of Namibia. If you can pray for them, and also pray for Nadia and Christina and Miranda in Kazakhstan. Just for their protection there as well, where they three girls in a complete different country, that we really just pray their blessing over them. If you just can turn to one another and just pray with us for them, please. Thank you very much. And is everyone finished? Thank you. I just want to encourage you to continue praying for them. That whenever you think of them, don't just think of them, pray for them. I think it's a great faith step, and I'm looking forward to seeing them as well coming back. I really know that God is going to do mighty things through them. And I really want to encourage you, go on an outreach, go on missions if you can. It changes lives. I really believe as believers we are not called to just sit here. But the best way to get healing is to really just go and just go and see what God wants to do through in people's lives through you. It's really amazing that when we allow God to do the work in us, how our perspective of life and of God really changes in our lives. And we did this month on relationships and marriages, and believing that there are many of us who are maybe struggling in relationships. And I think for me, just this month was such a blessing. Just looking at what Scripture is saying about marriage, understanding marriage again, just going deeper into marriage, family, knowing that God wants to do a mighty things through us. And, you know, as I started off a month ago, just saying that, you know, this is one of those topics because of brokenness that one don't really want to touch. It's like preaching on money. You almost don't want to go there. But because many people are really hurt in families, and many of us come from broken homes. Many come from homes that had a father and a mother, but one of them were absent, or maybe both were absent, or there was fighting in between. And it wasn't like our memories are not really amazing memories of family. But I really believe this is something that we must pray and put our faith out for, that where we are, that God can change that. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past, I believe God can change any circumstance. Doesn't matter what we've done wrong and what we haven't done and who we are and what has been done against us. I truly believe God wants to change that we can walk in the fullness of who He is. Even though we have made the mistake, and it's not my partner or whatever that made the mistake, that even if I have made the mistake, knowing that God can restore all things because He's a good God. And God loves, but His heart is for people. And we are family of God. We are His children. We are brothers and sisters of God. And His heart is for us. It's not against us. And God's heart is for every one of us. He loves each person individually, uniquely. And His heart and His purposes for all of us is so unique. But it's really that our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, our hearts can't conceive what God has in store for us. Because God is massive. He's amazing. And for me, I'm still stuck in Ephesians 5. I can't get out of Ephesians 5 just looking at family. Now I've stretched it a little bit to Ephesians 6. And I'm not one of those guys that can take 5 scriptures and preach a whole sermon on it. I'm too eenvoudig for that. I can just say what it says and then say something around that. I'm just joking. But, you know, being, knowing that the underdog, like a David, faces a Goliath, that sometimes I think we feel like the underdog at times. But just like yesterday, knowing that David still wins, it was really amazing for me. It was great to see. And, you know, they say, Ennie said it last week. He said, if I tell you I have measles, but I have pox, you'll get pox. But I could see in the rugby what I had. It is so good to see the guys really gave Stellenbosch a hard time. And they were playing rough and tough, and I loved it. It was good to see. My favorite is Nani Hini. Was Niku, no? I can't see him. But he was really gunning the guys, and apparently he said to them, so, jylle sê jylle is Christen manne, nee? And then he was going for them, and I could see the one pastor got upset, and I'm going to preach there 2 weeks' time, so I'm going to preach on the fruit of the Spirit when I get there. But I had to use Tigerberg and Stellenbosch, and they couldn't even beat our rugby team. And I must be honest with you, I think the netball should have won. They did so well. It was more attempts at the goals. It was really great. It's just that they had this one defender that was very good. So I'm very proud. It was really great to see just how we can come together as family yesterday. And I really believe this is the heart of God, that as family, we come together, and I think for us as parents, we have to, and I'm also struggling here, is to create an atmosphere where everyone is welcome in our house. And on Friday morning, we prayed on the vreemdeling, the sojourner, and I'm going to preach on that next. But that even that vreemdeling, that sojourner, that new person is always welcome in the family, in the Jewish home. And I believe this is God's heart, that everyone is family. God wants all His children to come to Him. So Ephesians 5 starts with that we must be imitators of God as beloved children, that we must walk in love, that we must abstain from all these sins, that we must walk in the fruit, then that we must be filled with the Spirit of God. And then it says we must submit to one another. And I believe this is the key, that it's not a master-slave mentality. It's a, we are children of God and we follow Him. We submit to one another out of humbleness onto who God is. And then Ephesians 5 verse 31, this is where I'm starting. But it says, therefore, and I'm going to try and, I'll just read it very carefully because last time I messed this up completely. But therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And through this scripture, just changed marriage to me. One flesh. We become one. It's not Lynette and me. It's us. We become one. God is one, but it consists out of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But He's one. We are one. So we do what is good for us, and not what's good for me or what's good for Lynette. We do what's good for us. And just as I was praying before that time, the whole thing about partnership, and I believe this is what the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. Because becoming one, you can't yoke with sin. And if a person is not a believer anymore, they're still in sin. So you are yoking with sin because you're becoming one with sin, and you're going to struggle in that area always. But I believe God wants us to walk in unity. We talk a lot about prayer, and someone said to me, shouldn't we just get everyone to pray for something? I can't remember what it was. But I just said, but Scripture says, where two or three agree in my name, ask whatever you want. We don't have to have 5,000 people praying. We just want two or three in unity. And that blessing, and I believe this is what God is saying to us, if we as husband and wife unite, we can ask whatever we want. That scripture that I said, that symphonia scripture, that we two agree, and that agree is like a symphony together. We can ask whatever we want. And I believe this is what God wants for believers, is that we can yoke together and can call in the kingdom of God because we can ask whatever we want. That we don't have to be afraid, walk in fear for anything that can come against us, because we know that our God is good and He changes anything. He does, and He responds because of the goodness of who God is. Then the next verse, verse 32, says this mystery, and the mystery of marriage is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And I shared last week and last month, and this is still amazing to me, that the more, because when you have children, there are certain things that must be done. You don't, if you want to sort your things out, when you're still without children, you go to a restaurant or you go for a walk on the beach, and you can talk long hours about many things. When you have children, there's just no time for that. It's like you have no sleep, you're tired. So things changes a little bit when you have children, when you're married, and pressure adds up. And you have to make time for everything, because it feels like your children consumes everything around you. So now you have to prioritize what is important in your life, because your children basically consumes everything that you do. Work, children. But what I'm seeing from this is, and in that, they can become like a, where you have disagreements and you start arguing about things. But and now you try to put rules down. If you do this, that, that, and that, and I do this, this, and this, then our marriage will. And you try to do all these things and you fail it and it doesn't work. And I think what I'm seeing with this is exactly how we come to God. We try to do things for Him, but it doesn't work. He wants relationship. The more I'm trying, the more we build relationship with one another, the easier it is. I don't get upset because the toothpaste is wrong. She doesn't get upset about this. We start compromising a lot of things because we are in relationship. And I'm seeing this the same with God. God is wanting us to have relationship with one another that we can demonstrate to the world around us what He, and also to us, that we can understand how we must have relationship with Him. And I said to someone quite recently, or some time ago, I think marriage, when it works, is like heaven on earth. But I think when it doesn't work, it's like hell on earth. Because it's hard. It's tough. It's, I think, worse for men when it's not going well with you and your wife. And we try to deal with it in different ways. But I believe when it works, it's effortless. And I believe it's the same with our relationship with God as well. When it works. And it's not because I'm doing stuff for Him. It's because I'm in relationship with God. And as well, what I'm seeing is that many people that I see are opposites when they get married. Brad and Leandri's wedding was really so blessed because she's so outgoing and so is he. And he was looking at the window the whole time and I was thinking he's looking for a way to run out. But he was hot, so he didn't want to run out. And I shared with them because they're opposites to one another. And I just said, you know, Mary and her sister Magdalene, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Magdalene was distracted with much serving. And I used that as an example. And then also Peter and John. And there was this rivalry between Peter and John. John was writing about Peter, but he never wrote about the good things that he did. He never said he walked on water, for example, but he shared how Peter cut off a slave's ear. He would say they were running to the tomb, and I was there first. The disciple that Jesus loves was there first, but then Peter went in second. So you can see there's some sort of a rivalry there. And at the end, when Jesus comes and he restores Peter and he says, but you will die with your hands being tied to your back. Then he says, but what about John? You know, how is he going to die? So you can see there's this rivalry. But in Acts 3, they walk together to go and pray. Because the Spirit has been poured upon them. And then they see this lame person. They say to him, stand up and walk. Silver and gold have I none. And I said to Leandri, always she was Miss Silver. And she's becoming Mrs. Gold. And then in this, when I saw this, it was so amazing. Silver and gold have I none, but stand up and walk. But the thing is about God takes opposites together. And they bring them and they make them one. But it's a mystery. How does it work? It's by the power of God. It's something that God does in us so that we can deal with our stuff. Because He takes opposites and He forces us to deal with people who are different to us so that we can learn humbleness in our own hearts. That we can learn to trust in God because God wants relationship with us. And then Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I've got this book, Love and Respect. I didn't read it, Jan, sorry. I tried to. They said I must read it. It's still next to my car, but I never got time to read it. But I know the scripture really stood out to me, the love and respect thing. And I just saw in the beginning they were talking about cycles, that the husband must love and the wife must respect. And when that circle gets disrupted, then there's conflict between them. But just looking at what they're saying, love, husband, love the wife, and that word is agape, which is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. The word respect is phobia, which is translated every other time as fear or afraid, except either as reverence or respect. Why? Have you ever thought about that? The wives must fear the husbands. I can see Nicola doesn't like that at all. Doesn't like that at all. But I believe this is what, and I'll show you why I think this is why it is. It's in the Bible, because it's not what we think. Let me get you that. The agape, what is this love that we must love like? And I believe all of us must love this way when it says we must love. But 1 Corinthians 13 says, verse 8, love is patient and it's kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It's not arrogant, it's not rude. That is the love that we as husbands and we to one another must love like. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable, it's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, it rejoices at the truth. Love bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never ends. We need much grace from God, because love bears all things. We can take all things, not what we want, but we can surrender and say, yes, God, thank you, Lord, that you are in control, that we don't get angry about things, because we can bear all things. We can believe all things about who our wife is, about who people around us is. We can hope all things, that the goodness of God, we can endure all things, even though she makes you crazy. You can endure that, because love never ends. And this is the love that we as husbands must love our wives. But I believe this is also the love that we must love one another as believers. Because John 14 verse 15 says, if we love Jesus, we will do His commandments. And this for me, the commandments, is the Word of God. If we can get this right, and this is where we need Christ, the grace of God, to become doers of the Word, that we live in the fullness of this, our wives will never be of us, because we will become more like Christ. So to love our wives, we must become more like Christ. We must become like Him. Imitate Him as we imitate Christ. We become like Him. Little children, 1 John 3 verse 18 says, let us not love in word or in talk, but in deed and in truth. And I'm really convicted here. We can many times give one another a hug, but that's not love. It's the things that we do for one another. That is where the love is. We love by deed and in truth, doing what we said we would do, and not just saying the right things, but doing the things that we had said we had done, and living and loving that way. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And you know, I think for young people who get married, I think most people are afraid that your partner might leave you for someone else. That's probably the worst fear that a man can have, that your wife will leave you for another man. This friend of mine said to me, his previous wife was, they were married, and he did really well financially. And then she wanted to get married to a very rich man. And she divorced him to get married to him. And within a year, that guy got liquidated. They lost everything. And it's just so wrong, because they didn't understand what marriage was all about. And they both were much worse off after they got divorced. They were almost financially ruined because of this divorce that they had to go through. But there's no fear in perfect love, because fear has got to, because perfect love casts out fear. And I think this is for all of us. If there's fear of being hurt, the love of God has not yet been perfected in our hearts. And I believe this is in place where we need to stand in faith and to pray to God that we can walk in that love, that we're not afraid of being hurt, but we can walk in the goodness of who God is. Because it says here that fear has to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not been perfected in love. That we really trust God as husbands to be perfected in love. Because in that place, our wives will be protected. They will feel loved. They will feel venerated. They will feel as a wife should be, because we are loving them. And then on the other side, it says the respect. And I believe this is not tolerance. This is not to be polite. This is respect. This is reverence. It's fear. But I believe it's a fear of God. It's not a fear of man. It's a fear of God. And tonight I'm going to just share Jeremiah 17 that says that he who trusts in man will be cursed, but he who trusts in God will be blessed. So this fear is a fear as unto the Lord. And I believe it's got to do with the whole submission thing, that they're not submitting unto the man, but they unto as unto the Lord. That they know this is where their strength is, because there's an order there. Because husband and wife represents, I believe, Christ and the church. And Christ loves the church. And the church respects, fears God. And this is what we are meant to demonstrate as a married couple. So we are not afraid of Jesus. But we worship Him. We have respect for Him because He is God. And this is, I believe, this is what we demonstrate in the marriage. Proverbs 15 verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. It's just that place that we know our wisdom is because we're fearing God. And then Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, the steadfast love and faithfulness, of by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. I believe this in the Old Testament is the grace and truth principle. It's the grace of God by which we are saved, but it's the truth of God that explains to us who God is. It's God's love, it's His goodness, it's His love that draws us to God. But it's the fear of God that draws us away from sin. So we are drawn to God by the love of God, but we run away from sin because we have a fear of God. So the grace is the goodness, the love, the mercy of God. The truth is the holiness, the righteousness of who God is. And husband and wife represents, brings that together. And this is not roles, the husband and the wife. It's one. We are one. So a husband will never do something to his wife that she's afraid of him, because he's making himself afraid. We cannot do this. We will do what is best for us and not what's best for me. I must do in faith what is good for us, because we have become one. We are husband and wife. So as godly families, I believe the offspring of godly families are children. And I believe this is why we should have a husband, a man and a wife getting married. Because fruit of marriage union will produce children. And I believe God wants fruit, and I'll just share a little bit on that. But when we have children, and I believe it's God's will that we have children. I really do believe that. I really believe it's God's will that people who have a desire to have children, have children. This is just my conviction that God wants us to have children. But Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then it says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So just words that stands out to me is just obedience, honor, anger. I just want to look at obedience. It says, I believe that we must not raise our children to be happy. We must raise our children to be obedient. And by teaching them to be obedient to us, we will know they will be obedient to God. That when we learn, we teach our children to what submission is in this world, they will be able to submit to leaders over them and not wanting to do their own thing. And that in that place, God can really bless our children. Donnie Mankis, he's now the CEO of Mediclinic International. And he said something to me that I will never, never forget. But he said, someone told him once, you must raise your children that other people will like them too. And I believe this is this principle. If we can get it right that our children walk to being obedient to God's word, they will, it's okay, it's good. They will walk in that place where they will be a blessing to the outside world, because that is who God is. That is who He wants us to be. Our children must honor our father and mother. If they don't honor us, they will not honor people on the outside. If they can't honor their brothers and sisters or their friends, they will not understand honoring. We have to disciple it to them. Our children, we don't have to learn them to sin. It's already in their nature. We've got to learn them to obey God, to walk in the fullness of who God is. And, you know, we, I don't know if you saw that movie, The Last Samurai, I think it was called, with Tom Cruise. Just that whole honoring principle of the Japanese people, where they bow to one another. It's a place of humbleness. And I think there's so much respect in that as well, when we can come to one another from a place of honor, honoring one another. And I think this is what we should to teach our children, to honor one another. What I think happens is, because we come from broken homes, we don't understand the honoring principle, and we're fighting with our parents, and there's not a blessing on our lives because we don't know how to honor our parents. And we must disciple one another as well to come to that place where we honor our parents, so that it can go well with you in spite of what they've done, but to take the word of God and to walk according to that. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. There's so much anger in this world. We see movies, games, children fight. There's so much bullying. I believe there's such a spirit behind this of anger. And it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. And for the father that loves the wife unconditionally, there's this place of loving the children unconditionally, that the father is involved in the children's life, because the father can provoke the children to anger. I just see it in my own life as well, how my children crave the father. And this is why I believe God hates divorce, because it separates the fathers from the children. And then you have that curse that is written in Malachi 4 that says the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children, and the hearts of the children will turn to the fathers, lest I strike the land with a curse. And I believe we are in that curse, because the fathers are being taken away and the children are provoked to anger, to violence because of this. And this is where we must make a difference. Revelation 3 verse 19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. This is that fathers, I believe, must understand as well. We must discipline our children. It's love. Hebrews 13 says that a son gets discipline, but a hireling you will let go. I'm not going to discipline someone else's child, but my own children, I'll discipline them because I love them. And I want them to walk in the fullness of God. I want them to be obedient to God. And when you discipline, you don't take a Weber quas and slut it, and then they load it. You don't do that. You give them controlled hiding. You take them, you hug them, you love them. You tell them this was wrong, and you tell them no. But there's boundaries. Children must learn boundaries. Because what we do is, we don't give them boundaries. We say, as ek nou weer gaan praat, as papa nou weer gaan praat, papa gaan nou, ek het nou die laat, ek nou die heel laatste, nou het papa genoeg. And I see it with my wife, she's softer on the children, and then I just stand up and say, manne, and they listen to me, because they know, pa het klaar gepraat, and I've got this nice thing that says, klaar gepraat, but when I give them a hiding, I'm not angry, I give them a hug, I love them, but they learn to respond to the voice of the father. And then one day when they're big, they have that, someone shared a testimony with me. This person said to me, I did this business deal. In my heart, I heard, don't take commission. 20,000 rand, don't take commission. Anyway, they didn't take commission. A week after that, I got 10 times that in another deal. Obedience to the voice of God. And I believe this is where we miss it, because we're not training our children to be obedient. We try wanting them to be happy. But they never come to a place where they're obedient to listen to that still small voice of who God is, because they've not been disciplined and instructed in the Lord. We honor the father and mother. Matthew 19, verse 19 says, we must honor our father and mother, but we must love our neighbors. Maybe someone can share with me, but I believe the honoring is upwards, but the love is downwards. Jesus says, love, and we must respect him. But then it says to the husbands in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, husbands, honor your wives as the weaker vessels, that your prayers may not be hindered. So husbands, we cannot go there and you must submit to me, because your God will not listen to our prayers. And I believe this is why we're not seeing many miracles in church, because of the principles of God is not of honoring, of respecting, of loving, of those principles are not being adhered to. We're not doing the commandments of God. How do we disciple our children? We disciple them to bear fruit, to become like Christ, to walk in the fullness of who God is. That's what we disciple them. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Daniel, don't become like your father. Become like Christ, as I'm trying to become Christ. And just our children must see how we pray, how we go on our knees and we pray before God. God, we don't know how this is going to happen, but we surrender to you, God. We need your help, that they can learn to pray as well. When it goes tough with them and there's maybe a bully at school, that they can start praying. God, I thank you that you love this bully, Lord, and that you bless him, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that I will overcome in Christ Jesus, that they can learn those things, but because they learn it from their parents. John 15 verse 18 says, by this my Father is glorified. It doesn't say God is glorified. It says my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. God the Father is glorified that we bear much fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. Love, peace, joy, faithfulness. I can't remember all of them. I'm still working on some of them. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, kindness, patience. I believe laughter is a fruit of the Spirit. This is Theo 3 verse 2. We must learn to laugh. You know, sometimes I'm upset about things that happen and I go to the gym and I see all these unsaved people and I can talk to them and they make me laugh and I feel so much better. Thank you, Toch. I was in a, we did like this supper with this lady teaching us how to make food. And she's got a different theme, and this theme was Sri Lanka, and it was really amazing. We went with the Kiskanas there. And this one guy was telling stories, but I couldn't help myself. It was just so funny. He wasn't rude. He was just really funny, but he's still in the world. But it's just that laughter, and you walk away from there, and you feel so light. And it's just joy of the Lord. This where it says here, I have spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full, that we walk in the fullness of God, in the joy of who God is, that we can learn to laugh again. Because it's almost like we lose laughter when we get saved. Now we can't laugh at jokes anymore. But he said, we don't have to be silly, but we can be silly. I believe we should be silly at times, just to laugh again, just to come to that place, because laughter brings healing. Because when you're so serious all the time, it's like no one wants to be there. But we must be light, that people want to be drawn to us and not to things. Who wants to go to that? That's why I believe people don't come to church, because we are very serious in church, because God paid the price for us on the cross. And I don't think that's what God wants us to be. I believe he wants us to bear much fruit. Jesus says this fig tree, there's no fruit, there's leaves, there's supposed to be fruit, and it dies because he wants fruit. Just go and Google, or if you have a Bible program, just go and fruit and see how he says, I require fruit. Even in Romans, I read it last night, he wants fruit from us. So as godly families, we disciple our children. We are being discipled to bear much fruit. And then we go in Ephesians 6 verse 5. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do not do the same to them. Not stop and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both a master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. We disciple our children. We have an obligation to God when we go into the world to live godly lifestyles. That people, whether they're under us or above us, will know that we are different. And I believe this is part of the Ephesians 5, 6 instructions to families. That where we live, where we work, we live according to the word of God. That we make a difference. And we, as if I'm a leader, I don't lord it over the people under me. If I'm in submission, I submit under the leader, whatever they say, unless it's contrary to the word of God, that we don't go into rebellion because I don't agree with it, but we take it to God, that people will understand that this is different. They are different. And it says here, God will reward us. We don't get our reward in our salaries. We get our rewards from God. We don't have to, if we don't get a promotion, be upset and, why did I? Do you know what I've done? We go to God, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I feel this is unfair, but why is this not happening? This is how we disciple our children, that we can stand and be different to the world because we know it's God that rewards us. We put our faith in God, not in man. If we fight about salaries, it's because we're trusting man and not God. And this is where I believe we must disciple our children, we must disciple one another to be a difference where we work. That we can walk in submission because I know my God is bigger than that. And even if that person treats me wrong, there's no partiality with God. People that is underneath me, that guy in the street, we all the same. Gabriel, we're all the same. We're all children of God. There's no partiality. God sees all of us exactly the same. But I believe if we can learn submission, there's a blessing on us because God rewards us. And what I'm seeing, what the devil wants to do, he wants to push us into rebellion or he wants to push us into control as leaders or as followers. So whatever it is, he's going to use your position against you. And I don't know if you know Aikido like me, I do, but you take someone's body weight and you use it against them. And this is what Satan wants to do with us. He wants to use our body weight against us. So he's going to use your position against you. And I think this is where we must trust that God is in control. That go and read 1 Peter 5 for the guys who have been underneath them. Don't lord it over your people. Because we're going to be held accountable to God how we treat people around us. And I really believe this is so important for all of us to understand as godly families that our trust is in God and not in man. And then it continues, verse 11, and it says, or verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Because the previous scripture, that's where our challenge is, to walk in faith where we work. Because we're getting angry and we can all those things. All our people being person comes out there. All our flesh comes out there. But in verse 10 it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, because he wants to use your body weight against you. Whatever Satan does, he wants to break up relationships. He wants to break relationships. He wants to break rank, that we get separated. Because when we see separated, he takes you down. When you're in the crowd, you're safe. When you're outside the crowd, you get taken out. And every person will get attacked in this area to be separated from where we belong. And I believe this is where Satan comes and he says, we must understand that these principalities and powers and evil rulers, therefore put on your breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, your shoes of peace, your helmet of salvation, pick up your shield of faith, your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because there's an enemy coming to take us out. And you know, this is just a small, if someone is being oppressed by a demon, a believer filled with the Spirit of God, taking strain in an area, we can cast that thing out by the name of Jesus. But I believe there's principalities and evil rulers over there that we can't just do that to them. But they have an influence on us. And they will influence us. For example, you'll see a territory and everyone gets divorced in that place. There's fighting. There's division. And I believe this is where we are. And Anne-Marie preached on the Jezebel spirit. It's not me or you or someone that has it. It's all are being influenced by it. How do we resist it? We submit to God. We come to God and say, we do the commandments of God. And we resist Him, but we submit unto God. Because all of us are being influenced by it. All of us come to a place where our relationships are under attack. And this is where I believe our fight is, to fight for relationships. Verse 18 says, praying all the time as godly families in the Spirit. And I believe this is praying all the time in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications to the saints. So there's a place that we come and we pray together, we pray for one another, we bless one another, we bless those who have hurt us, we pray to them. And then verse 19 says, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to. God's purpose for godly families is to seek the kingdom of God. That is our purpose. Powerful families seeks the kingdom of God. And this is where I believe for us as a congregation, we must trust God that we can do missions as families. That our children that high can learn to pray for people with leprosy. And not be afraid to touch this leper, but to put their hands on them because of the love of God. And to see that person getting healed by the power of God under their hands. Because they've got great faith. Daniel said to us the other day, Mommy, I want to play tomorrow, so I'm going to pray that we have sunshine. He prays. What does he get? Sunshine. He doesn't say, wow, it's a miracle. He says, dankie, I prayed for sunshine. Now I've got it. It's that faith that I really believe that we must have instilled in us as believers, because God's heart is not for us. Yeah. He leaves that one sheep to go and find that 99 sheep to go and find that one, that one out there. He rejoices more of the one out there than the 99 who's already in here. God's heart is for people who are lost. He didn't come to seek and save those who are righteous, but he came to seek and find those who are lost. God's heart is for the lost. Godly family's heart should be for the lost. And Brad and Leandri's wedding was so amazing to me. There was a third family, a third Christian friends, and a third not yet Christians friends. And the master of ceremonies was making these jokes, and Lynette and I we couldn't help ourselves laughing, and I could see many people didn't maybe like the fact that I was laughing, but I couldn't help myself. But it was not, it was, I can't repeat these jokes, it was not good. But then afterwards, Brad said, and he honored that guy, and he said, thank you for what you've meant to me when I was a youngster, and you looked after me as my stepbrother, and he just honored him. And that guy started crying because of that principle. He wasn't afraid of being maybe defiled, but he knew what he was going to do afterwards. And everyone walked away from that marriage or wedding ceremony saying it was so inspirational. Even the unsaved people, because we gave the gospel, we prayed, people prayed amazingly over them, got amazing words over them, but he was bold enough to get his brother or stepbrother to be the master of ceremonies because he knew what he was going to speak over him afterwards. And it's that honoring that I really believe this is what godly families should stand for. And I believe our healing is not talking about it forever to ourselves, but it's actually to go out there. And he just explained it to us so nicely the other night. He says, the Dead Sea is dead because the water comes in, but there's no water going out. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. If we want to live, the water must come in and it must go out. Freely we've received, freely we must give. And this is where, as godly families, we come, we receive, and we go, and we give. We come, we receive, and we come, and we go, and we receive. Because we are called to be ambassadors of God in this room. And in just the last slide that I got from the marriage prep, notes, Jan and Elsie, thank you for they're doing our marriage prep. So it's just how to build relationships, because in all of this I'm seeing God wants me to have a relationship with my wife Lynette, but she makes it very easy for me because I want to have a relationship with her. So it's so nice to have a relationship with her once it's by and away. So it's by a leaf for my fro. So we have relationship, and it's fantastic. And I believe it's the same with God. God wants us to have relationship with Him. So this place that when I saw this, I just saw it for both of us, and also for the church as well, that God wants us to have relationship because we are family. God wants us as family to have relationship with our children, with our friends, with our loved ones in church. God is about relationship, not works. We cannot do stuff for one another. It will never please. He wants relationship. And we must trust, because this is what the devil wants to do. He wants us not to trust one another. If Lynette doesn't trust me, she can never submit to me. She will never be able to submit to me. If you don't trust me, you will never be part 100% of this church. You will always have doubt in your heart. We must trust one another, that we believe that who we are here is where God has called us. And if there's distrust, we must pray, God, help, help. Because there might be a storm, and the storm could be a Jonah storm, or it could be a Jesus storm. If it's a Jonah storm, you shouldn't be in the boat. If it's a Jesus storm, He is in the boat. And He will calm the storm. And I believe in our marriage as well, if there's a storm, is Jesus in this boat? Or is this a Jonah storm? Because trust is probably the most important thing of all of it. With God, we must trust God. We mustn't trust man. We trust God with all our heart. And we lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge Him, because He will make our ways straight. We trust in God. We have faith in God. We don't doubt Him. We know. We're not unbelieving in Him. We know who God is. Intimacy. I cannot send my wife a fax every 2 days. She will not be happy with me because she wants relationship. I want relationship with her as well. We want relationship with one another. The same with us. This is why I believe cell groups is important, that we can develop those relationships. This is why we have to be intimate with God. I believe praise and worship is where we become intimate, where we read the Word, where we spend time with God in our quiet room, just spending time, being intimate with God. This is where I believe God wants to give us intimate, to be intimate with one another. Communication. We have to speak. We must talk to one another. Because if I can't speak to Lynette, and there's something in my heart, how can I know if that is the truth or not, if I'm not allowed to communicate about that? But she must be able to communicate back as well. But it's how we communicate to one another. And to say things like, you know, Lynette, when you do that, it makes me feel that. It sounds weird for the guys, but it works. We must get to know that, if we speak like that. So it's not yay is of you do this, but you know, when you do that, I experience, but I didn't even know that. I think Yanni was trying to greet me this morning, but I was in a different world. So she said, hello, hello. Was it for my Yanni? I'm sorry, I didn't. Afterwards, I thought, oh my word, she's probably saying hello to me. And I thought she's trying to figure out the mic to the back. And I didn't realize she was speaking to me. And then she came to me and she said to me, hello. And she hugged me. And I'm like, I came back to earth because I was somewhere else. But there's that communication to one another, to give one another the benefit of the doubt. Conflict resolution. Give one another the benefit of the doubt. Blessed are the peacemakers. Understand, to be understood, we must understand first. To be understood, we must understand first. Give people the opportunity to speak, that we can understand them, and not waiting that we can make our point, that we can bring resolution to that. Patience, waiting on God, being humble. I could miss it. On Friday morning, we prayed about Abram. The promise of God was given to him. He was too quickly, and he had Ishmael. He had to wait because God wanted to give him Isaac. King Saul was too quick, and he made an offering, and he lost his kingship. He couldn't wait for the prophet Samuel. We must be patient. We must learn to wait on God. Anger and tantrums must be avoided because it's just the flesh. When there's anger and tantrums in our children, in us, it's the flesh. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by their flesh. Pride, humility, God resists the pride, but He gives grace to the humble. We must humble ourselves before the Almighty God. The matter of the fact is, all of us here can be wrong. And many people say, God said. But even in that thing, we can be wrong. And if we say God said and it's not true, then it makes us a false prophet. We must be humble before God. We can't be bold and make our statements by saying God said so. Is it really God who said so? Or is it just our own desire that says so? Because there must be humility that we can know that we are wrong, that we are humble, knowing that, you know, Lynette, I can be wrong. I'm probably wrong here. You're probably right. I'm sorry. And they come from that place. Because if she is wrong, then God will vindicate me. And the other way around as well. Compromise. That we must compromise our own ideas. Because this is that root of pride. We think we are right, but we can be wrong. We can be right too. We need God to show us. And then the last one is to be honest and transparent. Have a broken and a contrite heart. Be quick to repent and to forgive. Do not hold grudges. Just put it out there. Allow God to do healing in our marriages, in our relationships. Because God loves us. But He wants us to love one another. He wants us to build relationships with one another. Not to do stuff. He wants relationship. That's the heart of God. If we love God, we will love one another. There's no fear in love because God's love has not yet been perfected in us. If there's fear of being rejected, then we must come back to God because God wants us to overcome, to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And if there are husbands and wives in the house, can I ask you, if you want to hold hands just with your wife, Liefie, as jy sommer by my kon staan. And if you are not married, or if your husband or wife is not here, then just stand in proxy for them. But I just want to bring marriages before the Lord. And I just want to trust that God will make us godly marriages. That we become one flesh. That it's not Lynette and Theo, it's us. Meneer en mevrou van Houten. We become one. We are one. And that whatever we do, that break this covenant with God, because marriage is covenant. It's between us and God and between one another. And you don't break covenant because Jesus paid the price with his own blood for us to be together. We cannot break that. It's covenant of God. And I want to just ask that if you can just close your eyes, that we pray as families together. We pray for our marriages. We pray for, we must repent for where we broke covenant with one another. Where we've done things to break communication between the two of us. Husbands, where you've not loved your wife. We must repent. Ask God to forgive us that we've not loved and laid down our lives, sacrificially laid down our lives for our wives. And wives, where you've maybe been in rebellion to your husband, telling him what to do, not allowing him to make his mistakes, just repent to him. And now, we must repent for fighting. Now, we repent. God, forgive us now. We repent that we fight with one another, that we're not speaking to one another, that we're not blessing one another, that we're not trying to bring a resolution to the conflict. And then we pray the fathers for our children. We pray together for our children. We repent that we don't discipline our children. And then we ask God to restore trust between us, that we will trust one another, that we will communicate, that we will build relationship in marriage and as friends here as well. Because God's kingdom is waiting. He's saying, seeking the kingdom of God first. We cannot fight with one another. There are people going to hell. People, we are called to be together. To be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. To make a difference in this world. But God has given you a wife. He's given you a husband. To be that difference in this world. To be the example in this world. To our children first. We first have to disciple them. And then outward. In Jesus' name. So let's just pray. I just want to just add that I believe Jesus, as Christ, as the head, he came to wash the feet of his disciples, of the church. And I believe for our husbands, we must wash the feet of our wives. It's that place of honoring our wives, that we wash her feet. She doesn't wash our feet. We wash her feet. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can just bring every marriage before you, Lord, in this house. Every father, every mother, Lord. God, and I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will heal broken marriages, Lord. And God, I thank you, Lord, that I can just speak life, Lord, over people who've been hurt in marriage. And God, I thank you that you will restore them, Lord. That you will bless them. God, I thank you, Lord, that they will walk in the fullness. And Lord, I just pray for every obstacle, Lord, that is preventing godly people who wants to get married, Lord, from being married. God, I pray, Lord, that you will come and do a mighty work in the name of Jesus to remove every obstacle, Lord, that is preventing your loved ones, God, from coming together, from coming into agreement, from becoming one in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. From next week, we're going to have different preaches in the morning and the evening. My sermon's going to be a little bit different tonight, but more focused for single people. And I just want to release the love of God over you, the blessing of God over you, that we are called to walk in the fullness of who God is, to really make a difference in this world. But I really believe it starts here. It starts with husband and wife. It starts with us in the church. The world will know that we are His disciples because of the love that we have for one another. And if there's stuff in our hearts that we deal with it, take it to God. That we can go forward. That we can be a difference in this world. In Jesus' name. And then I just want, if there's anyone who are sore, who can't walk, who wants prayer, I would love to pray for you guys. If there's anyone who really needs prayer as well, who just feel I need someone to pray for me, you're welcome to just come forward. And sorry, I've taken a bit long now, but may God bless you and walk in the fullness of who Jesus is. Amen. There's always hope. There's always hope. Amen.